Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We continue in this program discussing the home as God would have it, and we're talking about that particular point of how to keep our children faithful. Well, one thing we need to give to them is a sense of their own self-esteem. Children need to appreciate their worth, not by some hyped up, some kind of pep talk. You know, when I was young and played sports, my father was always very supportive and encouraging to me. But he never told me I was the best one on the field. I already knew better than that. I think he would have lost some credibility if he'd said that to me. But he urged me to always simply do the best that I could, and that was what mattered. You see, the child must be taught self-esteem when they are taught they are created in the spiritual image of God. Herein lies the dignity of the human being and the value of the human being. Here is the basis for the sacredness of life and of personal worth. Therefore, they, our children, being distinctive from all else that God has created, they know what is important. They need to be taught what is important. They must realize they matter to God, and they matter to you, because they count, and therefore they should matter to themselves. In fact, Jesus has taught that each child is worth more than all the world, because each one is a precious soul, Matthew 16:26. And this cannot be accomplished by degrading them and humiliating them, constantly finding fault with them, yelling at them. They have a spiritual quality like God. Jesus said God is spirit. They are spirits, as well as physical bodies. Teach them they are created in the image of God. And don't let this next thing bring out disappointment to you. The hard fact of life is that you will not be the first perfect parent. Furthermore, you will not have perfect children. Now, I say facetiously that that doesn't come until grandchildren. But ease up on yourselves. Just relax a little bit. These so-called wise experts that we hear today on child-rearing, they would have you believe that every single little matter that comes along is going to be necessarily a momentous and life-determining situation. Well, friend, that's not so. There will be times when you will make mistakes, and you'll say the wrong things, and you'll react the wrong way toward your child. But much of that is covered up when your child knows you love him and that you seek to provide for him, and how much you care for him. And don't refuse to apologize, even to your child, when you've done wrong and mishandled a situation. You see, children are not just little adults, and they should not be expected to act like little adults. And neither should adults act like children. But remember, children have feelings too. They're not to be badgered about with harsh words and cutting remarks and jerked about. You can hear some of the most awful things coming from parents yelling at their children at Little League ball games and such things as that. That's so uncalled for. Yes, the little fellows must be trained and corrected and disciplined, but they must also be treated with respect. It is hard for them to grow from a life of idealism in the home into a world of realism where they learn that everyone is not good, every policeman is not honest, every Christian is not pure, every teacher is not fair, and you are not as perfect as they might have thought you to be when they were very small. Don't make it harder on them and destroy your communication with them by being overbearing and dictatorial and abusive. Treat them with proper respect because they are created in the image of God, and teach them to have respect for authority. The lack of respect for authority is learned in the home, just like respect for authority is learned in the home. Parents are to be friends of their children, but they're not just another friend. They're parents. They're authority in the home. And the parents deserve to be respected and obeyed. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Yes, you can be a friend to your child and be a parental authority at the same time, but never to the disposal of your parental position. One day I was in my truck with one of my grandsons. James has had a little run-in with someone, one of his playmates there in kindergarten, I think, and evidently he had retaliated somewhat, and that was not like his character. But I told him, when he was explaining all of this to me, that he was to return good for evil. Well, he looked up at me and said with skepticism, "Well, who made that rule?" Well, I told him that was God's rule. And then he said, "Well, that makes a difference." Yes, friend, God's authority makes a difference. Authority makes a difference. James was showing signs of having learned to respect authority. And parents, deeds speak louder than words. James 2 and verse 18. "You show me your faith without your works, and I by my works will show you my faith." You see, sometimes our words are drowned out by our deeds, unless they're consistent with one another. One of the greatest memories a parent can give a child is a parent who was trying to live faithful to his word, being fair and truthful and honest and loving, dedicated to what is right. We only create confusion in their developing minds when they hear us say one thing, but they see us doing something quite opposite. I refer again to James. On that same day, a car passed us, and James said, "Pawpaw, did you see the man in that car?" Well, I noticed him, but not much, and I asked what caught his eye. He said he was smoking, and my daddy says it's wrong to smoke. Well, I told him his daddy was absolutely correct. Then he said, "And my daddy doesn't smoke either." And I ask you, what good would it have done for that child to be told it was wrong to smoke and then see his daddy smoke? Another grandson one time was riding home from preschool with a friend, and the friend's grandfather was driving and he was smoking. And Daniel said, "Your car stinks. When are you going to quit smoking?" Well, that's not bad for a 5-year-old, is it? But we must set the right example, and the right example regarding the church. Take them. Don't send them to Bible school. One little boy asked his father, "How old must I be before I can stay home from Sunday school like you?" Oh, what an example. Is it right to expect them to be what you don't even try to be? Do you know why some children have bad manners, and why they are rude and use bad speech and show bad attitudes? Well, look at their parents. And do you know why some children have good manners, good speech, good attitudes? Again, look at their parents. Parents, you cannot lead where you will not go. My dad once told me I could do whatever he saw me do. He assumed a great responsibility on himself, did he not? But that's the responsibility of a good parent. We need to set the example by word and deed. And Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We as parents must set the right priorities before our young so they will know what matters most. Unfortunately, not every child learns the proper priorities from the home. The church must come before self, and before the world, and before pleasure, and before sports and friends. Family must come before peers. Morality must come before lust. Honesty must come before gain. Worship is more important than trips and visits and vacations. School lessons are important, sure, but not as important as Bible lessons. Conviction, friend, surpasses convenience. What do you expect of them when they've been taught at home and shown from time to time that the things that God wants of them is less concern than other things of this world? They may get mixed signals if you're not careful. For instance, one child asked her mother, "Why do they always cancel church when we have company?" Children glory to see their own parents participating in worship services, teaching classes, helping the overall work. Without a word, they learn what matters to their parents, and then that matters to them. That will help keep them faithful. I'll never forget my mother preparing the Lord's table, making the bread, being involved in the work and worship. And I recall on one occasion I was a small boy in the little church where I attended. They had replaced a hand-fed coal stove in the basement with an automatic stoker feeder. Now, some won't understand what that is. But one day, cold Saturday, that thing went out. It went out, and I went with my dad and Brother Bullington, who was the janitor and the custodian, and to fix it for Sunday. I was a big help because I held the flashlight. But I learned something else. I learned what was the interest and concern of my dad and Brother Bullington. It was the church and the welfare of the church. That stays with you. Friend, what are you teaching about worship? You know the hours of worship, and your children will soon know them. Do they also know that their family always will respect those hours? You should not have to decide each time whether you're going to worship. That ought to already have been decided. You don't decide each day whether going to school or not, or whether you go to work or not. Why should it ever be questioned whether worship services matters enough to attend? Good habits can be learned just like bad habits can be. It may be difficult, especially for young parents, to gather up the children, get them ready, even have to almost wrestle with them during the services. But in the long run, it will pay dividends. They learn, the child does, to respect things holy, and they pick up far more from the things that are taught than we ever imagine. Some have been heard to complain, "My parents made me go to church when I was young, and because they made me go, now I don't go." What a pitiful, weak excuse. It's lame. Their parents probably made them wash their face and brush their teeth and eat their food and made them do a lot of different things. But along with making them to do those things, I dare say they still do them. They don't quit them because they were made to do them. They were made to do them because they needed to learn about that. Along with making them go to church, however, teach them that it's not just a duty, which it is. It's not just an obligation. It is. But, friend, it's a privilege. The privilege to show God your appreciation for His goodness toward you and toward them. Develop within them a loving attitude for serving God, making more than just a demand, even though He does demand it. It is a blessing to have the opportunity to worship God, and we become more like that which we worship. And we should teach our children, here is our privilege to show God how we adore Him. We are pleased with Him as we hope He will be pleased with us. Teach them to want to become more and more like God in their ways. And this will help keep them faithful. Yes, if the home is faithful to the Lord's church, when they assemble for worship services, every member of that family going to worship together, friend, that will go a long way toward keeping our children faithful. Well, we have a few more things to say along this line in our next lesson. Remember, this is A Burning Fire. Until next time, your speaker is Jim Boyd.